Good afternoon. It is Wednesday, September 6, 2017, 15 minutes past the hour. Scott Spears back with you here for hour number two on the Now program, the day before the big kickoff of the three-day popcorn festival in which they say 100,000 people visit the streets of Marion over a three-day period. So get ready for that. Going to be a lot of fun. And tonight, 8:10 to 10 p.m. right here on the WWGH network, 107.1 FM, the super terrific Whiz Bang Gallagher Show. Legendary comedian Gallagher live in studio tonight here for the Marion Popcorn Festival. Tonight, 8:10 to 10 p.m. on this station, and I'll be along doing the late shift tonight with Gallagher. So stay tuned for that. We've got an escape artist on tonight. That should be a lot of fun. But this hour, we're joined by a many-time visitor to this show, and we're always glad when he visits because it's an interesting conversation, and I think we all learn something by having these discussions on the radio in this country. I think it's very educational. He's run into some trouble recently. I believe the last time he was on was early in 2016, maybe middle of 2016, when there was an issue with Black Lives Matter. A new issue has popped up. So we'll talk about it and see what you, the listening audience, thinks. It's always a pleasure to welcome to this program the legendary dancing cop. I know you've seen him, Tony Lepore. Tony, how are you?
I am fine, Scott. How are you?
Doing well. How has life been treating you? Are you still out there dancing?
Oh, yeah. They can't stop me. Scott, you know, you run across this kind of stuff these days anyway, so it makes you stronger. That's how I look at it.
Well, it's interesting because we're friends on Facebook, and I've been watching what was happening, and it got kind of hot and heavy there. For people who don't know, kind of take us through what has started to happen. Start back with Black Lives Matter, because I think that was where it started, and take us up through now.
Yeah, it's so simple that it turned into a mess. It was simple because all I did was stick up for a police officer back in 2015. And he went into a Dunkin' Donut, and the person that was working in Dunkin' Donut was very belligerent to him, and then she wrote Black Lives Matter on his coffee cup. And no one said anything from the department, the commissioner's office, or the mayor's office. So I have a page called Citizens for Police. And we went on there, and we boycotted that Dunkin' Donuts. And what happened was, eventually, we picketed the Dunkin' Donut. And I was doing an event every Christmas for the city, and they would swear me back in. I'm retired. I'm not a police officer anymore. But because of my forte, directing traffic, I ended up a company because I do many different events now. I do shows, indoor shows, I do schools, I do many, many things. Grand opening for the big stores. So what happened was they didn't want me doing it for this reason, not because I'm a racist, because people thought that I was speaking for the department. Because of my popularity in this area, that's what people thought. But I wasn't speaking for the department, and I did not go out that day when we did picket in uniform. I had my regular clothes on. So that was their beef. Now, that went by, 2 years now, and November, October will be 2 years. Now, I do a parade in a small town. I'm not mentioning names or the town. In a small town in Wakefield, and it's a parade I do for the Firefighters Memorial, and they're all volunteer, and actually the town does not pay for these firefighters to have this parade. They raise the money, and also fundraising helps them pay, okay? I'm probably maybe the only one who gets paid to do the parade, and it's been 5 years I have been doing this parade. Now, this young lady was against me doing it because she was using the old Black Lives Matter petition against me. It started a new petition to stop me from doing the parade because I was a combative racist. And that was the petition. And, of course, that was indicated in anything except the left. People calling me and on Facebook calling me a racist and all. Other than that, no one ever petitioned me or tried to stop me from doing anything because I'm a racist. But this is the new thing now that I practically, my middle name is racist now. They've been calling me a racist so long. I'm throwing a little tidbit in there. I call her my stepdaughter, and she calls me her stepdad, a year and a half ago. She's African-American. Her dad passed away, and I gave her away. I walked her down the aisle. That's how much of a racist I am. And it goes on and on. So they were using this to stop me from doing the parade. Now, of course, we went head-to-head on a radio show here, and I tell you, I don't know if you heard it, Scott, she looked like a complete fool. She also said that she was going to rescind the petition because I'm not a racist, and I shouldn't be in the parade still because I am a costume performer. And she tried to belittle me as much as she could without calling me a racist. And what happened eventually is because she is known to be involved in these left-wing groups, the firefighters got nervous about it, and they were afraid she was going to come down there and maybe picket the parade, and they don't need that in that little town. So I got compensated for the parade without doing the parade. And the minute I did, within an hour, I got hired for that date somewhere else. But it was sour grapes, and she sounded, I don't know if you heard the show, because I sent it out on my Facebook, and I was hoping people would pick it up. And everyone who had listened to it, oh my God, they said, this woman's off the wall. She has never had any foundation for any of her accusations. She was all over the place. And I find out now that she's the wife of a vice president of the city council in this town. So that's where I stand right now, Scott. Any questions?
Well, it's interesting. This is interesting to me, Tony, because I remember when you got dropped. What was it, a Christmas parade they dropped you from because of the black
light? No. I used to do 10 days of Christmas.
Right.
Traffic, an hour and a half. And nobody does traffic like I do. Not to toot my own horn. And it was a big thing in the town. To the point where people said, now I can stop my Christmas shopping because you're directing traffic. I've been doing this at that time I was doing it for 31 years. Every Christmas, and I always wore a Santa Claus hat Christmas Eve, but it was just a tradition. Everybody loved it, and like I said, I have a big following, and I developed something out of nothing. I mean, that's the United States of America. That's what we all dream of, you know. Yeah, I'm still doing shows. I've done 12 parades this year already. I got 3 coming up. I have an assisted living home. I do a show for the seniors, and they love it. What else? I have a birthday I'm doing. So, I mean, it just keeps going on and on. I'm 69 years old. I'll be 70 in October. And I just left the gym.
we're glad you're staying in great shape. But, okay, Tony, why is it that this little town, if the woman sounded so haywire in the interview, and I did listen to the interview, and I implore people if they'd like to, they should listen to it. Why did they say, well, we're not going to have you? Because does she have a lot of people who follow her?
Well, she had 300 names on the petition. I mean, if I did a counter petition, I'd probably have 8,000. But I didn't want to do that, okay? Because sometimes if you don't touch something, Scott, it goes away. And she did. And all right, I'm not doing the parade. But you see, the firefighters were afraid that she was going to pick up the telephone. It's not just, you got to remember when this happened, was what happened down in when they had the demonstration a few weeks ago.
Charlottesville.
I lost my train of thought. Down in that town, and that was going on within the days. And of course, the town panicked. Well, the firefighters panicked. They thought she was just going to pick up the phone. The buses would be coming in. That's how, and I don't know I put some pictures of her in some of her protests with these flags. I don't even know what the flags mean. There's so many different left-wing groups now. I don't even know who they're affiliated with. I hear that George Soros is funding of all of them, but other than that, they're just left-wing groups starting trouble. I mean, even the people in these groups don't even know why they're out there. If you ask them certain questions, they can't answer you, and they just scream their talking points. And that's it.
Well, Tony,
The town was afraid. I think the firefighters were afraid. They had a meeting, and she was not invited. She was upset about that, too. And I think that's what the whole thing came to, that they were afraid that this was going to happen. And because of all the media hoopla about that, with Antifa and the KKK and the white supremacists, that was that protest then, and it was within a couple of days. Now, that petition was out for three weeks. I knew nothing about it until the fireman called me and said, listen, we have a problem with Tony. Please, we're very upset about this woman. It's not the first time. Okay. So she's trying to make a name out for herself, I guess. And that's about it, really, Scott. I mean, I look at it as, you know, it's what's going to happen probably continuously until I retire.
Well, Tony, here is the thing, and let's go back to the original incident at the Dunkin' Donuts. Now, when the lady put, or whoever, the Dunkin' Donuts employee put Black Lives Matter on the cop's cup, by protesting, what did you hope would happen?
I was hoping that she would, the owner would apologize, which she didn't.
And
never apologized. And at first we wanted just an apology to this police officer. Then it got to the point after we boycotted for 4 or 5 days, we wanted her terminated. And we picketed for that. And finally, she was transferred, but not to another Dunkin' Donut. Apparently I heard another business that he owned. And also the main office came down, the corporate office came down and gave me a written apology. But the politicians and the commissioner and the mayor didn't like it because I was involved and the police department was against what I was doing. But I knew nothing about them being against it until they fired me for that event that I do Christmas time. Okay. But since then, I'm not mentioning any names, two people that were against me going back to do that event, one has been fired for misconduct, and another one was released. On other issues, and I don't know. I don't know if anybody knows up the East Coast or any other area where Dunkin' Donuts is monopolized. They went out of business because people continue to boycott that one business. Now, I felt bad that happened. I didn't want that, but it did.
Well, I hate to bring it, but here is the great irony in this. You protested to have somebody fired. She was removed, and the store eventually closed. So now they're protesting to have you lose your job. So what you did, essentially for different reasons, but they're using the same right. That's what's ironic about this.
Right. Well, they are, and you know, but the right, what their aim is wrong, because it's been proven over and over, Black Lives Matter is nothing but a false narrative, and we all know that now, more so than then, because the narrative sounds like they actually care about black people, and they don't. They're a derivative of the Black Panthers, and they are really in-house terrorists, and everybody knows that now. They're just like that group, that other group, Antifa. They're the same way. I mean, they're violent. Five policemen got killed in Texas by one known member, and you see what's going on with these protests. You see which ones are the ones that are aggressive, and it's all the left wing. Everything's left wing. One time we had a line we drew, and we wouldn't go past that line when you insulted someone, but that line is gone. I mean, you still had some kind of respect for authority, but there's no respect whatsoever any longer. And, you know, you made a point last time of the bakery, and those people didn't want to do that cake for that person, because that person that owned the bakery didn't want to. It was against their religion because it was a gay marriage. But they owned that business, and that was their right. But this child, 17-year-old, which I didn't even know what her if she was black or white, I didn't even know that till maybe weeks after. But she was an employer, not an employee. She didn't own the place. She was an employee, so she should have gotten fired. If it was the owner, that would have been a different story, you know, and then we would have dealt it from there. But, you know, it's a difference when somebody owns a business or someone works for an owner. And you see a lot of businesses right away, they'll fire that employee if they don't treat a cop right, and then that's it. It's over and done with. Well, and then the apology. But there wasn't here.
Well, here's the interesting thing, Tony. And again, people can feel about Black Lives Matter however they want. But I want to go back to the person who wrote it on the cup. You don't know her. Now, do you believe that by writing it on the cup that she was what you associate Black Lives Matter to be?
Well, I didn't care one way or another, because you're just being disrespectful to the uniform, which I wore for many years, and nobody ever was that disrespectful to any police officer that worked for any business. Most people in my day were glad to have a job and would act accordingly. Now, if she left that, business and walked around and yelled Black Lives Matter and all that kind of stuff, that's your prerogative, but not in a business, not a place of business. And that was the whole aim. It had nothing to do with Black Lives Matter. If that was a black police officer and a white male wrote down, a white person wrote down KKK, I would have did the same thing. It's respect for the uniform. And that's the only reason I did it. And then they jumped on it. All the people that don't have a purpose now have a purpose. And they jumped on it and called me a racist.
Well, I want to go back because I think last time we did talk about that cake maker. Now, here is the issue, and here's where I think it applies to this Dunkin' Donuts. Now, yes, the cake maker does have a religious right not to support gay marriage. Perfectly fine. But the problem is that if you open up your business and you deny people because of their beliefs product, then if you set that precedent, if the state comes down and says, yes, you can do that, then Walmart can deny somebody something based on their preference. The shoe store in town can now do it. The restaurant in town can now do it, which is what they did in the South. If you're saying that a private business can deny people access because of their religious beliefs, then that applies to everybody, not just the cake shop. That applies.
You're right. And I'm not sticking up for the owners, okay? Now they got to take on the whole brunt of it. That's the whole thing. They have to take on the. They own the place. Now, if the owner did that, he would have to take on all what happens after, you know, and that's what they ended up taking on. But you don't have a worker come in and say that, because and the owner says, no, we will do the cake. And they keep it up, and he fires her, fine. I, for one, if I'm called, because I do weddings, I'm called to do a gay wedding, I'll do it.
Well,
that's business.
Let me ask you that. Okay. If the Dunkin' Donuts owner of that franchise, if he had put it on the cup, would that have been okay?
No, it wouldn't have been okay.
So why is it okay for the owner of the cake shop?
Responsibility of doing it. Now, he took on her responsibility by not saying anything, by her doing that, by not saying anything. What I'm saying is, it's his business. If he wants to put KKK on that cup or Black Lives Matter on that cup, he has to take the brunt of what's going to happen to his business. Now, this girl did this. He didn't do anything. He fought fought us, not the police, fought our group for a week. All we wanted him to come out and say, I apologize. But he wouldn't. He was stubborn, and he wouldn't. So what actually did happen, he did take the brunt because he stuck up for her, and he lost a lot of business. Now, I didn't tell people to boycott the place anymore. I said, you do what you want to do. That's not my business, what you do. We got an apology, and that's all we wanted. But, like I said, people in that area, especially when you have a business, another Dunkin' Donut on the next corner down the road, I mean, you know, and that's what probably happened. But I know he went out of business.
Well, this is all, again, and this is the United States we live in. It's all based on opinion. Not everybody picketed that place. Okay. So if we say that, then even though you disagree with this woman, do you respect her opinion to do what she's doing to you?
No, which one are you talking about?
The second one? Yeah, for the people who did not want you back for the Christmas, and this woman here, do you respect them for their right, even though you don't agree with their opinion, do you respect their right to have that opinion and not hire you?
Now, you're talking about the parade lady.
Yeah.
Okay. No, I don't respect her. She's riding the coattails of that incident, and that incident had nothing to do with me being a racist. It had to me being what the police department said in the town of representing the police of that town by me doing what I did. Nothing to do with racism. because I made it clear to the media, and I did it because I was a police officer, and police officers should be respected. If you don't respect the police officers, police officer, you don't respect authority at all. I mean, they have to have some kind of respect that, to keep their authority. If this kept going on, it'd get worse and worse. But she was right in the coattails of that last incident. And she actually, you probably heard, you did hear, she actually pulled the petition out because she was lying. Now, where are my combatants, I said to her, because I'm raising my voice and I am protecting myself during this interview? I'm combatant? That's not being combatant. I mean, the minute you raise your voice and you got passion for what you do, you're combatant? Combative?
Well,
you're combative.
I was not in the Dunkin' Donuts that day when the girl did this, but I honestly...
I wasn't either.
I would love to talk to her because I would honestly... I can't imagine she wrote that on there to be disrespectful to the police officer, because there are a lot of people angry in this America. Let's just say that.
Okay.
There's a lot of
okay.
people, and I don't think she was meaning anything bad to the police officer. I think a lot of people were making political statements at that time.
That's right. But she was making... She was saying things to the police officer that was belligerent. She wasn't going to serve him, but when she did, that's what she did. She put Black Lives Matter on there. But we weren't there. And what I hear is, well, of course I get inboxes from police officers, and they tell me what really happened. She was very belligerent to that officer, and many of the officers to go in. And I don't think she was actually in the organization itself. But, you know, they have followers. And kids that are 17, 18 years old, they're very impressionable. And they believe everything they hear, you know, and that's what happened. But that has nothing to do with the issue itself, I don't feel. She should have never did that. She did to serve the public.
If she did that...
A Jewish man comes in, he says, "I don't serve Jews." Is that what she's going to put on the cup next?
Well,
it has nothing to do with Black Lives Matter. It's a disrespect she had. Like I said, if it was a black officer and she put KKK on there, I would have been the first one to say something, and I would have been there. And I'm sure the town would have been.
Right, but I guess the difference... I guess the difference between the Jewish man and the African American man is that there are not statistics of Jewish people of the Jewish heritage going to prison and being killed more often than Caucasians.
That's not true.
That's not true. There are Jewish people.
Black police officers than blacks.
No, say that again.
Number one, they're killing each other in Chicago, okay? Black Lives Matter should be there trying to solve that problem for black people. Black officers mean nothing to Black Lives Matter. Nothing. Because police officers have no face. This is an organization that has an agenda. They don't care about black people, okay? 99% of the ones that marched, that picketed after me, that were from Black Lives Matter, I think there were, out of the 30 that marched, there was two people of color there. They're all white. So as far as I'm concerned, it's a movement, okay? It's an organization against authority and the United States of America. They're in house terrorists. Now, I would have said this a year and a half ago if I didn't go through all this crap they put me through, okay? But now I know more and more about these groups because I read and I study. I don't just watch television. I don't watch television because the media is very tainted today. So I don't watch it at all. I go on different articles in the newspaper and on and on both sides. But what I read is that they just want chaos. And the last problem they had was the buses came in, and some of those people, when they got off the bus, some of them were putting Black Lives Matter t-shirts on, and others were putting white supremacist t-shirts on, coming out of the same bus. So, what can I tell you?
Well, and again,
chaos. They're trying to create chaos. And of course, they have followers that don't know any better. I mean, as you see what's happening in the public schools, they're teaching the kids left wing. Look at the statues they're pulling down now.
What?
That Civil War, those Civil War statues are part of history. Those Civil War statues. What made the black man able to accomplish what they have accomplished? A lot of these, like Martin Luther King. I mean, he's turning over his grave.
Well,
the way people use their own race for their advantage. That's what's happening.
Well, let me get in here for a second, because I want to make sure. And first, I want to say this: police officers are brave, courageous, go out. I mean, I couldn't do it. It takes a special type of person to do that. So this is not an indictment of the police officers at all. But what I'm saying is, the facts are, and these are the statistics we have, and I think this is why people are angry. African Americans are incarcerated at more than 5 times the rates of whites. And the imprisonment rate for African American women is twice that of white women. Now, those are just the facts. Now, I want to get to the statues, because we only have 14 minutes, and I do want to talk about that.
Okay.
Now, here's the reason people are angry about the statues. Robert E. Lee himself said he did not want a statue. They tried to erect one when he was alive, and he said,
right,
I don't want that. He said, I think that leaves open the wounds of the Civil War. The statue that they want to tear down is one that was made long after he was dead in the 1920s, and it was put up more as an indictment of separate but equal in the South. It had nothing to do with the Civil War. Civil War long over, Robert E. Lee long dead. And taking down a statue doesn't eliminate Robert E. Lee from history, because he's still in the history books. Nobody's saying eliminate him. Now, here's the final point, and then I'm going to let you in. They compare that to Washington and Jefferson. Our president did that. Here's the problem. Washington and Jefferson did own slaves. Yes, they did.
But
Washington is not celebrated for owning slaves. Washington is celebrated for winning the Revolutionary War. Jefferson is not celebrated for slaves. He's celebrated for being one of the main architects of the Declaration of Independence.
Right.
Robert E. Lee had slaves, wanted to overthrow the Declaration of Independence, wanted to get rid of the flag that George Washington and Thomas Jefferson stood for, and led a war that slavery was one of the issues of. What is the good point of Robert E. Lee that would negotiate him getting a statue?
Well, I'm not upset about them pulling statues down. If they want to, that's up to them. I mean, like I said, like you just said, history's history. But, you know, that statue being up should represent what you shouldn't do, you know, and be against. Now, also, a statue of Lincoln was burnt during that whole... Why? Why was his statue detonated?
It's wrong.
This is what I'm saying. It never stops. I mean, before you know it, they'll be going to Mount Rushmore and blowing up those statues. This is our history. Who cares? Don't bring back... You know, like I said, I had nothing to do with your ancestors being a slave. White people that are living now never did. Black people in Africa sold their own to us, and it goes on and on. If you research now, there's still 10 countries that have slaves. But, you know, it's just an issue in this country It's just a left against right, and it's crazy, and a division is big for some parts of the country, and I want togetherness, but other people advocate division because that's what they thrive on. That's where the money is and where the power is, in division.
A lot of
black politicians use their own race for their own good.
Here's the interesting thing, and I know people won't like, but this is the analogy. Would anybody advocate for a statue of Mussolini or Hitler or Stalin being put up in America?
Of course not.
Right.
Well, there may be some.
Well, you never know. You're right. You never know. But here's the question.
I know.
Who knows how deep it'll go? But here's
that's what I'm saying. It's a slippery slope, don't you think so?
Well, but here's the problem, and this is where I think we get off the tracks, that I believe if Hitler had won the war, there would be statues of Hitler here. And I think that if you go to Germany today, you can't even, not only are there no statues of Hitler, you cannot make the Nazi sign, you cannot even wear a swastika. They will put you in prison, or at least fine you in Germany for doing that. So why in America do we have up statues of people who were divisive in our country? Washington, Jefferson, Lincoln, they were not divisive people. You would certainly say Robert E. Lee is divisive, and that's what I'm not quite sure of. Of course, nobody. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, me also. I feel the same way. But, you know, Hitler killed so many people, and all kinds of Jews. I mean, from all countries, and I think it's apples and oranges compared to the two, but. Who cares? It's a statue. But,
well, here's the thing.
That's a different story. I think that's a different category.
Well,
Robert Lee.
I'll tell you why I think it's in the same neck of the woods. Because they don't allow the statue. We have allowed the Robert E. Lee and Jefferson Davis statues. They will not allow a swastika. We allow the Confederate flag. You can't fly it.
We allow the swastika also.
We do, because we have free speech. But you cannot...
Right.
Put it on a government building or government property, and that's what... If you want to erect a statue of Sherman on your lawn, go ahead.
Right.
So why do we have to have them in public places, I guess, is my... Why don't they take the statue down and put them in museums?
That's a good idea.
I mean, do you understand...
I think the whole statue thing is ridiculous. I really do. You know, if they feel great by pulling a statue down... Let them. The history is the history. And that's it. You know, and...
I think the problem, though, is that statues, like Mount Rushmore, people load up the car and take their families to look at these people and say, weren't those great men? And that's
right.
What a step... I mean, we learn about Hitler in the history books. He's
of
not
course.
Been erased from history. And Robert E. Lee's not going to be erased from history.
No.
So,
no.
But,
oh, you're right. I mean, why did they put up a statue of Boot, who killed Lincoln? Won't they have a statue of him?
Because, it would be considered incorrect to do that. We don't want to...
It's part of history.
Right. So, but I think that's the point, is that people...
That's what I said. That's the point I'm trying to make.
Scott,
I was down to Rushmore because I did the Sturgis Motorcycle Rally. I did 18 shows in 9 days, two traffic shows a day, an hour and a half. It was 90 degrees, first of all. But we had a guide that took us to Mount... I'll tell you, when you're going up those mountains and you could see it a little bit more, the chills that go up your spine... You just can't describe them. It is incredible.
Well, this is interesting. I think you're exactly right. Would you make it a point to take and go see the Robert E. Lee statue as you would?
Not at all.
Exactly. Okay, there you go.
Not at all. I mean, it means a lot to people down there for some reason, but not at all. What do I care? But I think the other side and our side, you know, the left and the right, I think they go in extremes. And that's what happens to get to the middle. You have to go in extremes, I guess. But look at this broadcaster. He was Chinese, and his last name was Lee, and they took him off the broadcast because his last name was Lee. Now, that is ridiculous.
Yeah.
I don't know if you heard about that ESPN broadcaster. It was a small-town game, but still.
Well, I think one of our main problems right now, to be honest, is with the news, that there are a lot of people's intent to put out false news. And I'm not talking about your main networks, because
you're
to be honest...
Exactly right.
And if you put out false news, if you knowingly do that, you are contributing to the problem.
Oh, big time. And you know, they want to get the news out quick. From a source. From a source. That's all you hear. What source? You know, I can make a call and say something ridiculous and they're going to put that on the front page. They may. Who knows? I mean, we had an Inquirer. But as far as I'm concerned, I think they're all Inquirers.
Well,
you have to read so many newspapers now and go on the internet to get the truth.
Well,
you don't know who to believe.
Well, Snopes.
It's ridiculous.
Snopes is a good site to go to for people out there wondering. Snopes.com to check a story. But here's the thing. And here's... I can't lump all journalists in that, and I can't say all sources are bad, because to be honest with you, I know a lot of times people from government have called me and gave me a story, but they say, don't quote me, and if you do, you can't use it. Well, if you can't quote them, so you have to run the story. Now, did you intentionally run a fake story? Did you have a source? You did, but they asked to remain anonymous. So I'm not against sources, but the problem is that there are people who know, they make up the story completely. They know what they're saying is not true. And I tell you, it happened to me a few weeks ago here, and I'll tell you what I did. I had the guy who started the rally in Charlottesville. We got him 2 days after it. You know, it's a news show. You have him on. A lot of people had him on.
Right.
And people called me a white supremacist for even having him on.
Okay.
Now, that's extreme to me.
Yeah, of course it is. It is also to me. Because the lady quoted a comment I made on Facebook. This woman was against me during the parade. That I was commenting about Europe and the people going over the border into Europe, France, Italy, Germany, England, that they would not, never, ever get accustomed to our customs at all. I mean, they have, some of them have 15 wives, and on and on and on and on, and we don't go for that here. I mean, you know, and it's okay to rape and all this. So I made a comment that those type of people do not belong in the United States of America. Oh, my God, I was a racist. And that's how I felt. I mean, I was telling the truth, and I wasn't being racist by saying that. I mean, we have certain, and we want to keep away. We want freedom of speech, but we also want to keep the law. You know, we have to go abide by the law.
Let me ask you this, Tony. If you knew, if you could have had a crystal ball and known what was going to happen when you picketed that Dunkin' Donuts, would you do it all over again?
Yes.
Why?
Because my objective was not against Black Lives Matter at the time. At that time, it was against what that girl did. I didn't even know if she was a person of color or not. I didn't know that. I assumed she was. But, yes, because of what happened to that police officer. And I waited a couple of days before I said anything. I said, where is the FOP? Where is the commissioner? Where is the chief? Where is the mayor? How come they're staying away from this? That officer needs a backing. You know, I'll tell you what we would have done real quick in my day. I would have called for a boss. It would have been a sergeant. He would have came down. He would have got the girl, come outside. And he would have said to the owner, or call the owner, come outside and get the police officer. They would have shook hands, and it would have been over and done with. okay? But things don't happen that way anymore. They would have shook hands, I'm sorry, okay. That's it. That's what used to happen, okay? It will never happen anymore because everything's political. Everything in life is political now,
that Scott. That being said, let me ask you it this way for a final question. Do you think that the dancing cop, who has brought people enjoyment for years and years and years, that he should have been apolitical? That he should not have had an opinion and just continued to bring people joy?
Well, he's not a police officer anymore. He's an entertainer. And I have First Amendment rights, too.
Right. But do you think that entertainment, because there's a big, that's a big thing now. Entertainment,
well,
people shouldn't give their opinion. Why do we care? But because you were the dancing cop, it was different. The other people who picketed with you, I don't think saw this kind of backlash.
Well, they're still with me, and they know it was going to happen. But I didn't think it was going to happen either. I thought I was doing something good for the police department by sticking up for a police officer, and I was shocked when they fired me. Because in my mind, I didn't do anything wrong, and I would have did it again. You know, and I didn't lose any popularity. I lost a job. Because most of the people know me and what I have done for children, the police department, and society in this area. But, you know, there are politics. The politics is dirty. It's a dirty game. And any way they can get politics into any issue, some people will. And that's what happened here.
I tell you, Tony Lepore, the dancing cop, you're one of my favorites, and I always enjoy having a conversation with you.
Well, I'm grassroots. I don't have the diction you have, Scott, but I tell the truth. I shoot straight from the hip, you know. And if I was a police officer on the job, I couldn't speak like this because I would lose my job. And always remember that. Officers have no voice. Okay, they have to go according to what the department wants them to say and how to act. And you're seeing this more and more. But I'm glad that I have my First Amendment rights and I can stick up for police officers. Scott, you're an upstanding American. You're a great guy, and anytime you give me a call.
Tony, it's always a pleasure, and I feel the same way. And police officers, anytime you see one, walk up and shake their hand because how they do what they do is amazing to me. Tony, thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Tony Lepore, the dancing cop, one of my favorites. Hope you enjoyed the show today. This is Scott Spears heading for the dugout. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM, Marion, Ohio, the place to talk. Streaming live.